SwingerCast is intended for mature audiences. If you're under 18, this show's not only not for you, but you're not even going to be able to get into the places we're talking about. For the rest of you, sit back and enjoy. And remember, this is just from our own personal experiences, and it should not be misconstrued as professional advice.
SwingerCast.
SwingerCast is about our
hot
times that we have and our
hot
love that we have. Some people claim that we say
hot
too much, but we don't care because we love our
hot
times. Episode 80. I'm John.
And I'm Allie.
And you're listening to SwingerCast that just got back from Desire Cancun with a group of fantastic people.
Fantastic.
They were.
Yes. Just incredible, incredible times. And we didn't bring out our recorder. It was 5 days into the trip. Because we usually like to enjoy ourselves and not mess with recording. But I noticed throughout the week, different times, there were times where women would be sitting down casually talking about what was on their mind and asking other women what they thought. So by day five, I decided, wow, I want to get this. I want to record this because this is some good stuff, what they're sharing. And in the lifestyle, no matter how long you've been in the lifestyle, there are things that come up and you always communicate with your husband or significant other. But one great thing about going with a group to Desire is the time that you have to communicate and talk with other people in the lifestyle. And it's just the open atmosphere and all the time together, some really good conversations. It kind of recharges me for the whole year, you know, just that communication. I decided to grab some girls that I had heard talking throughout the week and told them, it was pretty spontaneous, I told them just to talk about what was on their mind. We didn't have a list of things we were going to talk about. I just said, just let us know what's on your mind and we'll just sit down and talk about it. So that is what we have for you today. I sat down with four women. We sat on a swinging bed. We were practically all nude, just chilling out on the bed, talking about what was on our minds.
So I'm Amy. I've been in the lifestyle, I want to say, forever. from my first early childhood masturbation. But no, I've been in the lifestyle for maybe 12 years, and most of that was not very active and very soft, and I used to really just be in it for the women. But our lives have changed dramatically after meeting some wonderful people in our home state and from traveling with great people from the lifestyle. And we found there are lots of things that my husband wants to do and that I want to do that surprise us both sometimes. So we are ready to try almost anything at this point, even split up, which I know is sort of against the rules of most couples, but we've actually experimented a little bit with not everybody always likes everybody and splitting up a little bit. And we're finding that there are great things to be had. We have Kate.
Hello.
We've actually been in the lifestyle for 2 years. We're actually converted at Desire, which is a very interesting story in and of itself. I don't know if we have enough time. We started off with a lot of rules, very much, you know, okay, we're both going to kiss at the same time, and we had no idea what we were doing. And then we would argue over the rules when they would be broken, not because we were upset that the rule was broken, but out of principle.
Out of principle.
So, rules are mostly gone. There's very few of them, and we separate, but not with like two halves of a couple, but more so like, okay, if this isn't working in the same room, we can go to different rooms and stuff like that. So yeah, we've learned so much about ourselves and each other and just met absolutely incredible people. Like, ah. Like if you ever have to sell it, it's like, okay, because the people are amazing. And most of them are good in bed, too.
This is Jay. My husband and I have been in lifestyle probably about 4 years. We dabbled a lot before that, but our first experience was here at Desire when we came, so back then. We have been soft swap for a very, very long time, for the 4 years, and recently we have expanded our rules, and that's been very recent. So the last month we've been experimenting with full swap, and we're still trying to figure that out, if that's an all-the-time thing or once in a while, or, you know, so that's a new adventure for us. So I think that's probably, I'm going to give you over to W. There you go.
Hi, this is W. My husband and I have been in the lifestyle for about 3 years actively. We started going to lifestyle resorts about 7 years ago, but really didn't do anything until about 3 years ago. We're pretty much a full swap couple. We really started with a few rules and just jump right in. We're both pretty easygoing, so we don't have a lot of rules. We've tried a lot of stuff. And, you know, we really haven't had any regrets about playing separately, bringing others in, unicorns, unihorns. and it's all been good.
Oh, that was interesting what you said. You're full swap now?
Well,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's probably been about a month. So it's actually, this week has been interesting because I think one of the issues that we're working through this week is rules for full swap. And it's not as black and white, because I think with soft swap, you always knew where the line was and you always knew where you were going to stop. And I think it's difficult because we're trying to talk about it before we go into an experience. Because one of our rules before was that you never change rules mid-play. But now that's kind of hard because you go in and, you know, you know that you've full swapped before. Maybe this is, chemistry is really working with this couple, and you had said before you were just going to do soft. Now it's really heating up. But do in the middle of play, is it really a good thing to say, hey, honey, I've decided that I want to really do this, guys. So did you bring the condoms? So it's been, this week has been a lot of talking over those, and it's going to be hard, I think, because there isn't the black and white anymore. And I don't know if I always want to say, oh, we're always full. I think that there's going to be some couples.
That's probably a big thing for a lot of people.
That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there, just because you do full swap doesn't mean that every experience that you have becomes a full swap. It doesn't mean that you can't play with people without fucking people. I mean, there are times when there's just a really nice afternoon of getting
petting
and licking and sucking and a lot of other things that don't necessarily have to end up in having sex. Now, as an example, I had an experience this week already with a couple that I am pretty sure full swaps, and I know I do, but in this situation, we didn't, because everybody was just having so much fun, and then we just ended up having sex with our partners, and it was wonderful. But
is that me?
I think so. Because I don't,
so
but I,
clarify,
well, because I wasn't sure. Yes. Cause I wasn't sure. Actually, I wasn't. I mean, even though you feel like you're running the show sometimes, I don't know everything about everybody. I don't know what everyone does. And that's, well, this goes into the whole other topic, is the resort relationship versus the home relationship, mm-hmm. which is monumentally different, right? When you're home, you have so much more time to figure out exactly people's rules. You have, you know, a dinner, a cocktail, a night where you just get together to kind of figure all that stuff out. Chemistry or no chemistry, you just kind of figure it out. Then you have time afterwards to decide how that's all going to play out. And in this finite timeline here at the resort, you don't necessarily have the luxury of all that. And it gets complicated sometimes. There are women here who I didn't know weren't really all that bisexual. There are women here that don't really want to be pet. And unfortunately, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just sometimes see a beautiful woman and I touch her, and then I'm like, oh, I didn't actually find out whether or not they were into that.
And see, I actually think a little bit opposite. I think that at home, it's a little bit more contrived and planned. because you do the emails and the IMs and, okay, when can we meet up? And, you know, for us, we email a lot with the couple and we learn a lot about them through the emails that we know, oh, yeah, this is probably going somewhere, or, okay, we're just going to meet them at a club one night. You know what I mean? We'll just happen to bump into them type of thing. But here I feel like it has to be accelerated and you have to be a little bit more, not aggressive, but outgoing, more open in your discussions. You know, we have no problem now just asking a couple point blank here, are you in the lifestyle? And if they say, yeah, we're like, oh, well, just, you know, what's your story? And usually through their history of how they got into it and all that, it comes out is what kind of happens with us. And then I think because you spend all day with these people and then you potentially go to dinner and then you're dancing and, you know, it I feel like it's more accelerated than at home. Maybe you're just more prudish than I am. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though, because here at Desire, you have the opportunity to talk to them all day long. They're available. They're interested, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's not as contrived where you're going out on a date and you're making a big deal about it and you have to block out a whole Friday night.
Babysitter.
Yeah. And then if there's no chemistry, you've kind of shot your whole Friday night. Here you can just kind of move on and go on to the next hot couple.
Was that last night? Next.
And I think one of the difficult things at being at home too is sometimes I just can't switch off the day to day, and even we'll go out and it takes quite a while to even kind of get into that mode because you've got the kids, you've got, you know, the job, and you're trying to, well, here it's a full week of just, if it, you know, you're just even relaxing with your significant other on the beach beds naked, and how can you not be in the mood? Yes. So it's easy to switch that other half off, where for me sometimes at home it's more difficult to do that. And here, I mean, these are great relationships and they're fun relationships, but at home it sometimes can get a little bit more drama because it's longer term relationships that you're building. At least with us, we have. And sometimes it's easier when we just see you in the fun times once twice a year.
Well, and Jay, I don't know if you've had this experience, but having started the lifestyle at Desire and then going home to the real lifestyle world was quite shocking. I mean, it is.
AKA a big disappointment.
It is so much easier here because you make such quick relationships. I always leave here feeling like I have a ton of new best friends. At home, that's not going to happen for at least a few months, at least, you know, and it's going to be rare that you find that connection. But here we're all just so laid back and, you know, having cocktails during the day, and you don't do that at home. You're at work, you got kids, you're doing dinner. So, but it was very shocking when we went home. I remember the first time we went to the lifestyle club at home, they had a theme night and it was sheer, and I'm used to Desire. So I showed up in a sheer dress and I was the only one, and everybody else was in like a tank top and a short skirt and stuff. And I was really mortified and kind of intimidated by it all. Just like, well, I feel out of place now. And I just came from a place that's so incredibly welcoming. And at home, things are, they're just more dramatic and they're more, there's cliques at home and there's so many different, like, you kind of sometimes feel like you're back in high school, and those are the people we avoid, but sometimes you don't learn it until a little bit later. So I don't know if you had a similar experience, Jay, with the transformation between here and then reality.
I actually think some of the only missteps that my husband and I made were when we first got back from one of our first trips, and we really wanted to almost recreate what we had here. And we jumped into a few relationships a little too quickly with people that we probably should have been a little bit more careful, but that really weren't our type. But we were so excited and we so wanted to be with them. And I don't mean to disrespect the home. We have some great friends at home that we see on a regular basis, that we have a lot of fun with. We're lucky we live in an urban area. There's, you know, a few clubs there. There's lots of different choices that you can go out. So that is something that definitely is still fun and so much fun to do. But I have to say that the friendships that we've made here, we're lucky to be able to travel and we've been able to see, I think, two of the four ladies that are sitting here. No, three of the four ladies that are sitting here out on vacations. And that's been a nice thing, too, when we've been able to get away and have those weekends away, too. So I don't want anyone to be disappointed and say, oh, we have to go to a place like Desire to really experience the lifestyle, because it can be at home. It's just a little bit more work, I think.
It's a transition. You just have to reset your mind frame. But then once you do and you know the reality of the situation, it, you know, it's obviously amazing, but it just, it was very different going from this to that. It's like, oh, okay. You know, you want to talk to me for a few days before I meet you? What? You aren't just going to meet me at the lobby bar? What's going on?
Okay. But then what you were saying before about the emailing and the sort of, you know, getting to, you know a couple and think that, like, we probably have chemistry with these people. I don't get that at all from, I don't do any of the computer. I don't talk to anybody online. I don't even know what sites I'm on, what passwords. I have no idea. My husband does all of that, and he's very, very good at choosing people for us to meet. But it, for me at home at least, there is, it is almost the same as being at the resort, in that if I'm going out on that night, it doesn't mean that something's going, wonderful is going to happen. Something wonderful might not happen here either, but it just means that I know it's a sexy night with my husband. I know that we're going to have the mindset that no matter what happens, we're going to have a great night. And I know that we're going to meet some people who we could have a great night with. I know nothing about them. I'm not predisposed to think anything. I may not even know their first names when we walk into the restaurant. And then we just see if there is or is not chemistry. And I don't have to talk to them all day long. I don't have to decide if I like them in too many other ways. Now, that's kind of dirty in its own way. And most of the people we play with are people that we really have a connection to in a lot of other ways. But there's still something to be said for that first date, for that, you know, that undeniable chemistry, if it happens to happen between four people. I mean, this is hard. This isn't one date. This is four dates happening at the same time. Everyone's got to be on the same page and wanting to do the same things. And if it works, it works. And it's great.
Now, as far as meeting people on the lifestyle, I found that it is a lot of work. I mean, you really do have to update your profile. You have to actively look for people, do meet and greets. Some people are lucky and might have a spouse who would help them with that. But as far as, you know, meeting people, it is very time consuming. So when you come here, it's a lot easier. You have, you know, a lot of like-minded people who are looking to do the same thing, and they're looking to do it in a fairly quick way.
And you can see them naked right away.
You really know what you're getting into.
Exactly.
Getting
into you. Exactly. It's very condensed.
Okay. I know a lot of you have sex toys. A lot of sex toys here. Do you guys really use them here?
We don't even bring any. I rarely use them at home. I just
I don't use them at home either, really. I mean, I have one, but I know that a lot of people bring. I know a lot of people on our trip have brought a lot of sex toys, and I was just wondering if you guys use them.
Yeah,
ours are used for emergency purposes only. When we're both ready to pass out and I just can't get there. Like, all right, well, go get the magic wand, baby. Let's do this.
So I have sex toys under my bed that I frequently use at home. No, at home. Yeah. I happen to have small children, and there's 2 days a week that I am sometimes alone or someone sleeping, and I find that I sometimes like a toy in the middle of the afternoon, and it seems that my husband's very proud of me for such adventures. Here, there's stuff up there I haven't even... What I do find...
What?
I haven't even needed a sex toy since I got here, thank the Lord, but what I do find funny is that... What I do find funny, though, is that when I first came on these trips, how much lube we used to pack.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, it's just so funny now. I can't imagine the last time I needed some lube. Like, you go, girl.
I have to say, we did come with a full arsenal of sex toys, the lube, all kinds of assortments. And we don't use them. Well, no, hell, we do use them at home, but but we brought them on vacation, and we kind of incorporated into our play. So, you know, we don't necessarily need them, but it is a fun accessory. I'm like the swinger Barbie doll. I have all the toys.
You got the toy last. You won the toy.
I did like that.
That's right. I like that.
Tell us about that.
Okay.
Used it?
We haven't
used it to its full potential yet. I think this is going to be a good hot tub edition. I got, I think it's called the One.
Ono?
Yeah, the adjustable vibrating sex toy with the suction cup that's going to mount nicely. It's waterproof. It's going to mount nicely to the inside of my hot tub. Yeah, we're just building the swinger encampment at our house. Feel free to come visit.
I am the rare exception that does use sex toys. I am the rare exception that does not orgasm very easily. So we have them and we bring them with us. I do not usually bring them out in play with other people. I don't know how people would react to that. So I have them back in the room so that I can, you know, have my orgasms with my husband when I, you know, when we want to or whatever. So I definitely have them here. I've only taken them out in play, I think, not ever here at Desire. I think I've taken them out once with a couple that we're really comfortable with. I guess I feel a little self-conscious about it. It's just, you know, all those multi-orgasmic women are feeling so sorry for me.
Exception. I don't think
you're the rare exception. I have a little fingertip thing that I would be so happy to just make happy things. It. Yes. I previously was completely in need of some sort of vibration, some extra, when I was a total clit and tit girl is what I like to call it. When my sexual life was completely clit and tit, that's all I had. I had one orgasm ever a night, and it was completely clitoral, and it was tweak my nipples, you know, and I've managed to find some other things that work for me now, but oh gosh, those vibrators at back then were about the only thing that, you know, you could really rely on, and I'd be happy to do whatever I need to do. Okay.
So are you able to have orgasms with a vibrator?
Oh, yes. No problem. No, I mean, I say no problem. I honestly think, I still believe that even though I'm orgasmically challenged, I probably actually have orgasms more than women outside the lifestyle. I mean, my husband is very patient, and we have a great sex life, the two of us together. And I, you know, but I think, I have to say it's a little intimidating. I think that he wouldn't know anything was anything different, except we are on the lifestyle. We'll be in a play situation, and the other woman's now had five, and I haven't had any, or, you know, and it's, you know, we've had to work. That's something we actually have had to work through. And how do you tell another couple? I don't want the other man to think, oh, I just need to work harder. You know, no, you don't need to work harder. It's fine. I'm enjoying what's going on. So.
And on that note, I think that actually we've had an experience with another couple that the girl didn't share that she's incredibly difficult to get. And the way that she finally shared it was at the end of sex, and she's just like, okay, I'm done. Like, this isn't going to happen. And she was very abrupt about it. And we're human. We've all got egos and everything. And it was just like, oh, my husband was, oh, okay, I don't do it for you. But had she said, you know, hey, I'm a tough cookie, he would at least know that, all right, I've had those before. I know what to do with you. And I understand if it doesn't happen. But yeah, so I guess it's if you're with a couple that you're comfortable enough sharing it with, that it could end better than not. Through experience.
Well, reciprocation's always been an issue in the lifestyle. The, you know, you give, I give, he gives, you give. You know, where's the line? Can those two have fun and then we don't? Or, you know, if you come, then do I have to make him come? And everything's a lot easier when you just get just a little bit selfish. And it's okay to just say, like, we've had a nice time. I've done nice things. I don't know. There's some men that are a little hard to get off. There's some women that are hard to get off. You've got your spouse right there. If it gets to a point in the evening where it hasn't happened for someone, I'm not going to sit there and feel guilty about it. I'm not going to feel like I have to keep trying and trying and trying. It's, you know, you've got your spouse right there, and I know your spouse knows exactly what to do to finish the deal if that's what, you know, it need be. But I'm not going to sit there and, you know, if you're with a couple you've been with many times, I mean, this is all different, but I'm talking about somebody you've only been with, you know, a couple of times.
come on, I'm not going to sit there for hours and think like, okay, I'm not going to suck and dick because he can't come. It's just, you've got exactly what you like, and I haven't figured it out yet. We'll work on that later. But for now, excuse me, where's your wife? Like, we need her.
As far as being orgasmically challenged, I probably am too. You know, I'm not very easy, and I may only have one or two or three orgasms a night. I'm not going to have 25. In fact, I sometimes call bullshit on people who say they have 25 orgasms a night. But as somebody who only has one or two, I can't even fathom that. Yeah. Because, you know, after I orgasm... Exactly. Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. I don't know that we're talking about the same kind of orgasm, and that's the problem, is that there's a clitoral orgasm what I think we mostly grew up with. It's just all we knew. It's all I knew forever. And that's a one and done type of, that's fireworks. That's rock your world. But there's a nice G-spot orgasm that can just keep happening and happening and happening. That's completely different. It has nothing to do with, nothing to do, but it's very, very different. And it's a whole different ball game. And I didn't know anything about it until about 8 months ago. So I'm still learning, but when there's women in a room and they're, I used to be like, are you kidding me? There is no way. I didn't understand what they were doing. Now I do. And it's just a completely different thing. But I still only have one firework a night.
Oh, and I'm okay with
that is it. And actually, some nights, no firework. Yeah. Like, I probably came 15 times last night. But I never had my big... until this morning when my husband finished the job.
I'm sorry, I did have my firework last night, but I also had multiple, and they're just varying degrees. If you had multiple mind-blowing ones, sorry, you wouldn't be moving on to the second one.
Right, there's different degrees. Yeah. Right. Okay, you're multi-orgasmic now, so are you. Have you always been?
Yes.
Yes. In group situations?
Well, last night was my first group situation, and I was.
Okay. Last night was your first group situation?
More than four.
Well, how many people you guys had? Like 12, huh?
No.
10?
Wait, last night was 8.
Eight.
Not that any of us were there.
So I think
I've just met these people. I just met these people. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think sometimes the group situations are harder to have multiple orgasms in group situations.
But it was more distracting.
Right, but not anymore. I don't know. It's just some kind of mental zone I get into where I can let go and take the pleasure and accept the pleasure.
I definitely agree. I know that part of it for me is mental. When we are, there's just so much stimulation going on around you. There's other people you hear, you know, having, yes. And it's very difficult for me sometimes to just focus on what's going on right now. So I do think that is part of it, but it's tough too, because one of the fabulous things about being in a group setting is seeing everybody else have sex around you and experiencing that too. So I don't want to block it out. I just think that's so hot to look over and see my husband with someone else. It's like having, you know, sex ADD, right? It's hard for me to concentrate on myself a lot of times because I just love watching everything that's going on and the atmosphere. I think that's one of the things I've always loved about, you know, swinging is just the sexual vibe that's going on and all of the sex around me and seeing everyone else having so much fun. And so I think that sometimes it is hard to pull it into myself because I'm just enjoying the show.
I found that in club situations too, when there's a big group room and everybody's out there having a great time, it is so much to see. And, you know, some of that is experiencing that now and then going back later and reliving it with your husband later. You know, you may not have the orgasm then, but when you talk about it later, it's even hotter.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's talk about the talk after. Oh, dear Lord. Some of the best I've had some of the best mornings that I've ever had in my life. It's like, wow, I didn't think things could have been better than last night, but they certainly are. You're just reliving everything and, you know, oh, dear goodness, I'm speechless.
We usually have that talk at the end of our play night, and sometimes at the end of a long 3-4 hour play night, we'll have sex again, and it's even hotter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When it's that long, that's when we talk the next morning. We're like, okay, honey, you had a good time? You had a good time? All right, I'm going to bed. Well, I'll talk to you in the morning.
I had actually had this discussion earlier in the week with another group of women, but I think it is an interesting question and interesting feedback. I don't consider myself bisexual. I guess the term I usually use is bi-friendly, because on a lot of times in play situations, I do love to touch everyone. but I don't consider myself bisexual. But a lot of times in play situations, women have gone down on me before, and I've been receptive. I'm receptive to anything that feels good. I haven't said no, but I don't know the protocol with a woman who considers herself bisexual. Is she offended if I do not reciprocate? And so I wonder, is there that, and is that something that you should discuss in the beginning of a play situation? That, yeah, you can go down on me, but I'm not going to go down on you. I just don't know. I don't want to offend anyone. But if you're going to send something my way, I'm probably not going to say no. So I don't know if anyone else has experienced that or thought about it or...
W. Well, you know, I wouldn't necessarily consider myself bisexual. Well, technically, I probably am, being that I have had sex with women, but probably more in the realm of bi-comfortable like you. You know, it's not a requirement for play for me. If it happens, it's fun and it's usually great. But on my own, I don't think I would seek it out. But I am very comfortable with it, and it's always a fun time. But like you said, I would have to be very comfortable with the other woman to actually actively participate more. Mm-hmm. If I'm receiving it, it's fine, you know, but I have the same question as you. If they're definitely bisexual, should you bring it up first? So I'm going to pass it over to Amy.
We were going to go to the last.
And I'm completely right in between you guys, because I don't identify with, and that's the only way I can explain it. I don't identify with the word bisexual. But if you talk to women that I've played with, they're like, oh, dear God, honey, you are bisexual. But I think it's because I'm just so I'm passionate when I'm in the zone, and I do go into a zone. There's often times the next morning where my husband and I are talking, and I'm like, well, he's like, well, did this happen? Did this happen? I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, were you that drunk? I'm like, no, I was in a different world, and, you know, but anyway, back to what was my thought.
We're editing right here.
I'm not the type of girl that is going to start the play with the girl and end with the girl. It's going to be more of it just meshes when all four bodies or six or eight or whatever are all together. Then, yeah, I mean, I'm going to do what feels good, whether that means me giving or receiving. I haven't ever been in a situation where a woman has been upset that I haven't reciprocated. And there have been times, I think it's more, you know, maybe afterwards I'll just say, like, that was really nice. I don't know. There's times I haven't even said anything, because there's been times when, you know, been with a guy and haven't even, like, given him a blowjob. And it's just timing, and it's just going with the flow and not tit for tat and, okay, I did that, now you do that.
And, right, going with the flow.
And I'm very natural progression. I'm very just... Okay, you cannot walk up to me and say, let's go have sex. You don't have to wine and dine me either. But I need to feel like you're going to be my friend, vanilla, if you're going to be my friend in bed as well. So I'm in between you guys that I'm more open to it, but I still don't identify with it. It's very bizarre. I'm an odd one to define. But Amy is not.
Well, I mean... I didn't know that forever. It's not like I had some sort of, you know, thing. Maybe I have always had some latent desire for him, and I don't know. I mean, I can remember going back now, I can remember the first time Brian Adams' Run to You video. 1988. No, but I can remember coming home from school and MTV was new and seeing this video and this woman showering and found myself, you know, completely attracted to her. But that was it. I mean, I was in high school. This didn't happen then. I mean, this was not something I ever pursued until, I mean, we really got into the lifestyle mostly because I had an interest in women, not because I had an interest in men. I was always very sexual, or a slut, I guess, maybe, but I was always very slutty. No, I mean, I didn't know that it was women that did it for me until we started getting lifestyle. So I did get into it for the women, and I had the same feelings and the same nervousness when I got christened by the girls who had been doing this, and they went down, and I'm like, oh, do I have to do it back? I don't know if I'm ready, or I didn't know if I wanted to. And but now it's just so silly to think about it. It's just that I'm doing what I am doing because I want to. And everyone, I think, is doing what they're doing because they want to. No one's giving anything to you because they think that I'm going to give you and you're going to give me. I just don't think that's the way it is. Because I can remember not wanting to really blow people back when I was in high school and college. I could have cared less about sucking dick. I have had more dick in my mouth in the last few days than I can fathom, and I've loved every minute of it. And, you know, and some of your husbands included. And I really am not doing it to show off. I'm not doing it because I want them to do anything to me. I would just find somebody right now and say, like, hey, it's like, it has nothing to do with that, but you have to think of it in the same terms. It's like, what are you doing to anyone else? Are you looking for something from that? Are you enjoying what you're doing? And so if you're enjoying what you're doing. Now, your question going way back was twofold. One was, you've never complained that someone's done something to you, but you don't necessarily want it, or if you hadn't discussed it ahead of time, are you offended? Because I think it's the other way around. I think that if I do something to a woman who wasn't really prepared for it, I feel, and so right now I actually feel a little funny about it, because I'm pretty sure I'm one of the people on the list of people that may have not known exactly or forgotten what everybody's rules were and just got in the heat of the moment. So, you know, and I mean, so I think that's a little hard sometimes for me, is that I'm very attracted to women, and a lot of the women here, regardless of whether they're bi or not bi, exude so much sexuality that it makes it very difficult not to want for me to touch them and do things to them. And I hope that if they weren't comfortable, they would say, please, I'm not comfortable. But I hope that if they are comfortable receiving, that there's no reciprocation. There, you know, it's just fun.
No pressure. Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, not considering myself bisexual per se, because I don't like the labeling and the terminology.
Right.
When I open up my toolbox, I do have a harness and a double-ended dildo, so kind of gives you away.
You know, different strokes for different folks, you know?
Okay, thank you, ladies. Our guys are waiting for us. Ooh. Probably out at the pool?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You didn't have that in the playroom last night, did you?
That was very cool of those girls to share the conversation with you.
And to be able to share so openly with women like that really means a lot to me, because prior to the lifestyle, I hung around men a lot of times. At the time, I thought women were pretty much manipulative and backstabbing, generally dishonest, but I have found that not to be the case at all with women in the lifestyle. I love them. I love the honesty. I love the openness. I love the respect, the mutual respect that we have for each other as women and part of a couple, and sharing that goes on, whether it be sex or just talking about what's on our minds. and working through our own challenges, or just having a sounding board with some people that will talk to you honestly and let you know what their feelings. It's really a wonderful thing. And I really thank those women and lots of other women that we were able to talk to.
Right. That weren't a part of the conversation, mm-hmm. but that did. Yeah. And so I think we'll wrap it up and get ready for the next podcast,
mm-hmm.
the next adventure, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go, I just want to thank Play Passions because they did sponsor us with a lot of good toys to give away that we'll be talking about probably on another episode, but 10% discount at playpassions.com. Enter in the code SWINGERCAST at checkout.
Oh yes, Play Passions set us up with some awesome toys that put smiles on lots of people's faces.
Including Allie's. And we'll talk about that on another show. But until then, if you're interested in coming with us again to Desire next year, it'll probably be the first week of April, and details will be on swingercast.com.
Mwah! To all you sexy lifestyle women, and your husbands and partners too.
Good night, everybody.